do you think, sir? I love you. I said before, and you know, that should be the hallmark of our church. We hope that you feel welcome here every day. And I always put that caveat, not feel welcome that I said necessarily, but to feel welcome here. And that's certainly my story over the past 11 years that I've been here as well. You know, tomorrow being Memorial Day, I think it's fitting for us to, as we have in our song service today, and we have done a beautiful job, and those are some wonderful songs today. I tell you, if you're hoping in anything else than Jesus Christ, I hope you get that fixed today, because my hope is only in the Lord. You know, your yesterday is gone, and your sins have been forgiven if you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And that is the hope that each and every one of us has. But this day, Memorial Day, that we're talking about is set aside in our country to honor those that have lost their lives in active military service. And it's not really to be confused with Veterans Day, that's to honor all veterans, or Armed Services Day, that is to honor those that are in current active duty, but those that have fallen so that you and I enjoy the freedoms that we have today. I don't think for most holidays, and I speak about them like this, that most people in the country really have a grasp on what these holidays are about. I know for a long time, I didn't pay much attention to Memorial Day. I know I was out of school. And I was like, yes. And then I got to work, and I think, oh, I got a paid day off. Hallelujah. And that was about as much thought as I put into it. But I do, as I think back, remember the time that when I was in high school and I went to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and how awesome of an experience that was to see those men and women that guard that tomb, and there's three there, to represent the unknown people that we haven't been able to identify that have lost their lives in this country. And there's always special replay of our president, you know, on the road that'll happen tomorrow. But what a special day, Memorial Day, is for those families that have lost loved ones, those mothers that have had children and their husbands didn't come back, or vice versa, did not come back, and the sacrifice that it takes. And I don't know if there's many of us here that have had someone that close to us. I don't know, maybe you have a parent. But those gold star families, as we call them, is a day that I would hope that you would take to pray for them, because as we may be celebrating and grilling out and having our days off, there are families, just like Mother's Day and Father's Day, that it's a glorious day for maybe those of us that have our parents here, but not so much these days are remembrance days of the lost loved ones that they've had. So pray for those families. Pray for those ones that have lost loved ones, because they're mourning this weekend, not necessarily some of them. So I just think we ought to put a little bit more thought into what these days are. So in the introduction here, Memorial Day was first observed on May the 30th, 1868. And it continued on the 30th of May until 1971, until they changed it to be the last Monday of May. And that's why you have it moving around. Tomorrow happens to be Memorial Day, and it also happens to be Mountain Brooks' 7-year anniversary. And so sometimes our anniversary is on Memorial Day. I didn't say that for you. Mourn for her. but sometimes our anniversary falls on Memorial Day. Sometimes it doesn't. We kind of planned it to be that way. But it moves around. It moves around because it's just simply the last Monday of May. But I looked up some very sobering statistics here. These statistics are as of 2013, so this number continues to grow. But since the American Revolution, and then the Revolutionary War, that obviously was fought to have that revolution, we lost 1,196,793 Americans in the different wars up until what we have. And we're losing people on a yearly basis, so that number continues to grow. These are five-year-old statistics that I can find. The Civil War saw the largest loss of life of 498,332 people. Then you add that to the total for World War II, was the second largest loss of life that our country has seen, That's 405,399 people. 75% of the 1.2 almost million people that have died were in those two wars, the Civil War and World War II. there are going to be about 300,000 flags placed and already have been being placed this weekend on graves in Arlington National Cemetery. Anybody ever been there? If you've ever been to Arlington National Cemetery, if you go on a trip to Washington, D.C., make sure you stop by there. It is the most sobering place that I've ever spent time in. I remember going in high school and some kids wanted to kind of be playing around, and I was like, shut up. This is a solemn place here. And it's not a place for us to be, you know, just running around. I mean, for as far almost as the eye can see on some hills are white gravestones of men and women that have given their lives for this country, of all different kind of, you know, creeds and rich and poor. There's Christians in there, there's Jewish gravestones, there's Muslim gravestones. You can see the different symbols that they put on there. You know, just people that have said, you know what, I believe in this country, and I believe in what this country stands for, and they went to fight, and they didn't come home alive. And there's many families today that are going to be going to Arlington National Cemetery. Like I said, almost 300,000 flags of these wars of active duty military people, almost 300,000 buried in Arlington National Cemetery alone. When you think about the sacrifice that these people have made, that's why I titled the message this morning, The Importance of Remembering. The Importance of Remembering. And that's what we have this holiday for. When you look at Memorial Day specifically. But while we think about those men and women that have given their lives in our military, I want us to focus on the greatest sacrifice that was ever made for you and I, and that's the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross of Calvary. In John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14, Jesus is saying this, and he said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Now you think about what he just said, and then think about what this next verse says in verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. When you look at this, some of the most powerful, and I love the entire chapter of John 15. You can go back and look at that. It tells you what it means to be a disciple, and that you're to bear fruit, and that you bear fruit to show people that you're a disciple. And in the verses right before this, it's just an awesome chapter of the Bible. But as he's looking at this, it's profound what Jesus is saying here. He's telling us, my command for you in verse 12 is to love each other as I have loved you. Now, we talked about last week about what is the church and what does it mean to be in the church. And I talked about whether you know people's names or not and how we ought to be, especially, you know, that there's a little over 105 people here this morning, and we ought to be able to get to know each other's names and whatnot. But he says, and this is a heavy command, I say, you know, it's as heavy as the command that husbands have, because it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. And this is the same command for us to love each other. Love each other as I have loved you. So how has he loved us? That's the question that you ask. How? Well, how, Jesus, did you love us? He loved us without condition. He loved us to the point of complete personal sacrifice. And that's what he follows in verse 13 when he says there, the greater love, you can't have any greater love than to lay down your life for somebody else, to lay down your life for your friend. And what's so wonderful is the first couple of words of verse 14. You are my friend, as Jesus said. Now that's important on two levels. Right there, he's telling them, and he hasn't died yet, but he's telling them here that greater love. Nobody can love you any greater unless they lay down. I mean, they can love you no greater unless they lay down their life for you. That's the greatest extent of it. And lay down their life for their friend. And then he turns around and he says, you're my friends. Now this is God. This is God himself addressing his disciples as friends. So we have the song that we sing every now and again. Jesus, friend of sinners. All right, and Jesus says that he is not only our Savior, but he is our friend. Now, I'm telling you, you can't have a more close personal relationship with your God than that. And he laid down his life for you and I. When you look at that word in verse 14, friend, it is the Greek word philos. And if you have looked at any kind of Greek terminology, whether it be friends or love or whatnot, you know that when Jesus was restoring Peter, he was on the seashore, there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he looked there eating breakfast, and he looked at Peter, and he said, Peter, do you love me? And now the Greek word he used there was agape, agape love. Do you love me without condition? Do you love me unconditionally, he asked him. And Peter responded to Jesus and said, you know that I phileo love you. He loved him like a friend. The Greek word for friend is philos. And so when that's why Jesus would ask him again, Peter, do you love me? And he would say, I got that. And then Peter would respond, yes, I phileo love you. Jesus didn't want him to love him as a friend. He wanted to get on that same page. And he found that he was able to do that. But when you love, and think about this for a minute, when you say, yeah, how does God love me? Does he love you unconditionally without any type of preconditions, or it doesn't matter how you act? It doesn't matter. God loves every single person that's held bound. Let me say it that way. Because, yes, there are people that go to hell. Do you not? You know that right? Unfortunately, lots of them. But God, that doesn't mean God stopped loving them. There's nothing you could ever do to God that he would stop loving you. But when it comes to how we love them, it's conditional. You looked at me wrong. You didn't say hey to me. You know, you talked about my mom. Or you did whatever the case may be. And now you just don't care about him anymore. He doesn't want you. He doesn't want us to love in that way. He wants to love in a deep way. And but we have a short-term memory when it comes to what God has done for us. And that's why when we're talking about this, it's important to remember. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. Because Paul was teaching the church at Corinth there about the Lord's Supper and what Jesus said at the Last Supper. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I read that a lot of times when we have communion and read verses that precede that. Paul was teaching the church at Corinth to remember what Jesus did that night. And if you look in both of those verses, in verse 24 and 25, Jesus ended that blessing with, do this in remembrance of me. So it should be important to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary. Isn't that right? It should be important. He said that. That is the reason why we take communion, is for you and I to have a reminder of what Jesus did for us, the greatest act of love that this world has ever seen. It is far better than the 1.2 almost million people that have given their life for this country. They gave their life to give us freedom, but Jesus gave his life to give us ultimate freedom from sin. And all of our hope is in Jesus because of what he had done for us. When you think about this, though, and you say, why did he want us to remember? Why did Jesus want us to remember? Why give us this task? Why? So you answer. Okay? But don't you think, why do we have to have this an event to remember? Shouldn't we just always remember? We have to be reminded, don't we? That's why we have these holidays. That's the only reason we have these holidays like we do. They're set aside so we can remember every time. If you didn't have a marker, if you didn't have something, you know, you would forget. If you didn't have a birthday every year, you'd forget how old you were. And this is true. There's a lot of people I ask, especially as you get an advanced age, you know, maybe that's because you can't remember anymore. But most people, it just doesn't matter anymore. When it doesn't matter, when you're a kid, it matters. But I'm 10, because you can't wait for that next birthday when you're 11 to get something, right? But when it doesn't matter to you, then you tend just to forget. When it's not important anymore, right? These holidays that we have, so Memorial Day, for instance, is here once a year for us not to forget the continuing growing number of 1.3 million people that are giving their life for you and I to be Americans and to live in the comforts that we do in this country. Why we have Flag Day, why we have Grandparents Day, Mother's Day, and all of those things that we have, you know, going on. It is extremely important to remember what's happened in your past. It's extremely important. I'll tell you, one of the worst things you could possibly do is go to some self-help person and some motivational speaker and say, just forget your past. Let your past go. Remember it no more. Oh, that sounds wonderful when you've been going through something bad. Oh, just let it go. But forget my past, forget my children's birth, forget my salvation day. Really? That's not what we're saying, is it? You do not forget your past. You remember it. And you leave it back there. Now you move on from it now. Your yesterday is gone, I think the song said. It is gone. You don't let it be a ball and chain for your foot, but I remember that I touched a stovetop grate thing one time when I was about 9, and it burnt the tar out of my hand. Now, I remember that, so I don't pick them up barehanded anymore. I don't care how long they've been sitting there. The only time I picked one up was when we had that stove that day, and it was delivered. I knew it had never been hooked up, but I still was like, ooh. Okay? You know, if I forgot that, then I would just be an insane person and do it again. Insanity. The definition of that is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And you wouldn't do that, you know, most of the time, just keep doing the same old thing if you forgot. It is really important for you to remember and constantly sometimes remind yourself of the past and of history. That's why I like history. People say, I don't like history. You're crazy. History is the telling of how you got where you are now. You wouldn't know anything about your present if it wasn't for the past. So that's why people say, I don't like the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. It's wonderful. It is, you are on apple juice. Maybe you passed milk, but you're on apple juice and apple slices as a Christian if you haven't dived down into the Old Testament. If you've just been on that New Testament all this time, you're not ready for meat and potatoes until you really understand the depth and the root system that is going to be placed when you understand those 39 books of the Old Testament. We need to remember whenever something would happen, whenever there was an event, whenever God showed up or they won a battle in the Old Testament, they made memorials to the Lord so they could remember. Very important one was at Shiloh. And they went back and they returned to that place time and time again. And I think in this country, we're really forgetting a lot. As Christians, we're forgetting a lot. I want you to think about my generation of folks, and there's plenty of us millennials in here today. It would behoove us, millennials, to remember how our grandparents, great-grandparents maybe sometimes, raised their children. Because they were the greatest generation that this country has ever seen. Now, we seem to have been making a mess of this for the past 30, 40, 50 years. Okay? So I'm a person, I like to look back and see. Okay, I like to see that Earl made a mistake in his life. So I go, hey, I ain't gonna do that, buddy. And then I go, I have a hand later. Okay? But if I seen somebody, I used to tell my youth this before when I was youth pastor. If I was walking back there, or if I was standing on this stage, and I just walked right off the stage and fell, who in here is going to get right up and do the same thing I just did 2 seconds later? Anybody? Okay, somebody's pointing that right? But no, you learn from your past. So it's a learning thing. It is important to remember because you learn what to do and what not to do as you go forward. And so not just remembering, but you appreciate. You appreciate the future, the past, the present, because of what's taking place in the past. I appreciate the fact that our founding fathers, for instance, saw fit to break away from a tyrannical government in England. And that they fought the American Revolution. I think about George Washington. What an awesome leader that man was to have all of this power he could have had. And he gave it all up for us to have the democracy that we have today. Imperfect as it may be, but it's the best example of a government system that this world has ever seen that has lasted for over 200 years. And people are fighting and dying every day to protect it. You want to go live in North Korea? Iran? I wouldn't want to go live in London, England. I want to be right here in the blessed United States of America because I'm proud to be an American. I won't just sing that song, but I am proud to be an American. And no, I didn't serve in the armed forces, but I can tell you right now, if I had to go, I would fight for this country proudly. For my children and my grandchildren, because this is the greatest country on the face of the planet, I don't care what anybody else said. And he's the greatest. And we need to remember. And in the church, I don't think we appreciate, and you got to swap back and forth with me. I don't think we appreciate the sacrifice that Jesus made because we just tend to live our lives not thinking about it. Do you realize that our God, you get that? The supreme creator of the entire universe decided that he was going to come down and live in a body like you and I do for 33 years. He was going to experience hunger and experience pain and insult and all the rest of the horrors that life brings sometimes and the joys as well to ultimately go through the physical torture and torment of a crucifixion death because he loved us so much. Do you get that? That God did that? Jesus, God, one and the same. And he did that. I don't believe that Shiva or Vishnu or any of the Hindu gods has ever died for anybody. I don't believe that any other religion in Buddhism or any of the rest of the religions around the world, that they have a God that they even write about. It would have been just a marvelous story to write. But it's true. And he died for us. And so every single Sunday, that's why we meet here, is to remember. This Sunday is called, and my generation has no idea about it, the Lord's Day. It's been called that for a long, long time. If you've been in church for a while, it's the Lord's Day. This is the day that we began to meet on a Sunday because Jesus rose. So we met, and in the early church in the book of Acts, you see them meeting on the first day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. And they met in the temple on the first day of the week, and they broke bread together, and they fellowshiped with one with another, and they remembered what Christ did for them. 2,000 years later, we forget why we're meeting. We think we're meeting because of those things I said last week. We get membership benefits of the church or social connections or whatever it is that we're supposed to do after. We go to church because our family is doing something. You know, this is not a place, as I said last week, to showcase people's talents. This is not a talent show. We come to church for one reason. To worship the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for me and you. If you're here for any other reason than that, you're here for the wrong reason. And then we take it a step further than that at United Community Church in the first Sunday of every month besides last month.
I mean, that's everything going on. We do the Lord's Supper, and we do communion. And when you take that bread, that's cracker, and it's broken, that is representative of Christ's body that was broken and beaten to the point you can see his lungs. He was so ripped open. His body was broken. You think, oh, his body was broken. How bad was his body broken for me and you? And then he endured the cross after that flogging. And his blood was spilled as we take that grape juice. A diet coke. We're here before, about six people have diet coke one night. But you take that grape juice and you drink it. And we're identifying with Christ's death every month. Why? In remembrance of him. In remembrance of him. We won't, I won't, and that's been a practice at this church for every year that I've been here, and it'll continue for as long as I'm here. People say, well, why don't people do it once a quarter or once every 6 months? There's some churches that only do it once a year, communion. No, I think in this world that we're living in, and with the people that we're dealing with today, and especially as my generation becomes the ones that are in power, we need reminders every day. You almost need to set something on your smartwatch or on your cell phone and go, hey, you know what? Jesus died for you. Hourly basis. But what I'm seeing in the church is that we're forgetting so easily, not just the 1.2 million people that we're not going to think about tomorrow as we're grilling and having our days off, and all those families that lost loved ones that we could grill, but we don't even in our church remember why we're here and operate as such. That's not what I'm about. I don't want to be a part of a church that's just going to be a show. It's going to play games. And not ever acknowledge that one day we're going to stand before that same Savior that gave his life. And you're going to have to look in his eyes. And you'll remember then. But will it be too late? That's what keeps me solid. Is that I'm going to have to stand before the Savior, not in his power and his might. I'm not scared of him in that way. You know what keeps me grounded is greater love has no one than this, but that he laid down his life. You mean that he loved me? And to disappoint the Savior keeps me straight as I can be. I don't mean that I'm all out of sin, because I do. But the love of Christ and what he has done, and I try to remember that every day for what Christ has done for me. And I hope today that you understand that the only way that you can appreciate what Christ has done is for you to remember it. And I think about something.
I think
that's
good. Vivian gave this to me today. It's an oldie goldie thing. I've had it before. I want to read this real quick because I got to have that. Cell phone versus the Bible. And I want you to listen to this. It's something you've probably heard it before, but I wanted to hit you. I wonder what would happen if we treated our Bible like we treat our cell phone. What if we carried it around in our purses or our pockets? Think about it for a moment. Whoa. How many of you today have your Bible with you? I wasn't for a show of hands. Maybe you have it on such a device as this. How many of you are only relying on that paper that I've given you, that I could have typed whatever it was or put it on the screen? And you don't have any idea that that's from the Bible? I did that to my youth group one time. I preached a whole youth lesson. And only one kid, finally, after I pressed them, realized that what I had wrote up there was incorrect. I changed the entire verse. If you don't have the actual Bible in your hand, you can't keep it with check. Who has your Bible? You got your phone now. You're turning around for your phone. But your Bible. What if we get around our purses? What if we flip through it several times a day? Like Facebook. You got to refresh it to see what else is happening. What if you flip through your Bible several times a day? You sure do that with your cell phone, I guarantee you.
All right? What if we turn back to get it if we forgot it? What if we used it to receive messages from the text?
I like that.
What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we gave it to kids as gifts? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in cases of emergencies? Kind of makes you go, what if I'm out? I put a lot of importance on the Word of God and on the Bible. I told the Wednesday night crowd the other day to pray for one of my coworkers because I've been working on her for the past 7 months that I've been back at Captain City Bank. And she sent me a text message the other day when we left work, and she said, "What's the best Bible for me to get for my daughter?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah." And so I shot her a screenshot real quick of the one that she ought to have gotten. And I said, "And by the way, here's the one that you should get for yourself, and here's the money to buy it." I spend every bit of my 401k money on somebody wants a Bible. Because it's something that will change your life.
Amen.
But do you crack it up? Do you pull it up? Do you pull it up on your iPad or other devices? We can never. How can you remember if we never even think about the Lord throughout the week? I hope, and I want to end with this, I hope that we remember better the sacrifice that Jesus has made, better than what people are going to be remembering those 1.2 billion folks tomorrow. Because what I do, what I see coming out of the stores, is today how we remember our fallen soldiers is going to Kroger or anywhere else that sells beer in the convenience stores and getting a bucket full of as much beer as we can possibly get, and as many sausages and hot dogs and hamburgers and french fries and potato chips as we can possibly buy, and get as wasted as we can possibly be. And I've got a pool and all the rest of things like that in my house, and I tend to grill out and whatnot. But tell me how that remembers these people, how that has nothing to do with it. Sure, if you want to do some of that stuff, celebrate, whatever. But I don't ever hear anybody have a 4th of July celebration, Memorial Day, Veterans Day. I never hear anybody say, you know what? Let's be thankful for those people that have given their lives. And if you've got a child serving in the military, it's something you think about a lot as they're gone. But the same thing at how we do with these folks that are serving right at Memorial Day, I see us doing in the church. We come to church. We don't, hopefully, we ain't bringing buckets of beer and all in and all the rest of it. But we come to church and we do our celebration. But we're not really given the time it takes for what God has done. And that's why I don't like all these crazy things that we come and do sometimes in the church. Are we doing what we're here to do for God? And that's the focus that we should be making, is when you come to church, and we're here to worship and praise God, and we're here to learn more about what He's got to say. But it is important for you to remember. You got something?
Yeah,
we didn't pray like that for our service today, too. So I just ask you, in closing, that when you come to church, just like what I'm asking you to do tomorrow, have fun, swim, do all those things that you were going to do. But remember why we have the day off, if you have the day off tomorrow. Remember why we're able to celebrate however we want to celebrate tomorrow. And we're able to do that because we live in a free country. And the price of that freedom was 1.2 million people giving their life. And the price of your salvation was that our God had to give His life for that freedom, which is our ultimate freedom.